are listening to a presentation from Proclamation Church, Orlando, Florida, where we exist to produce ambassadors who passionately proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the context of the world. Thank you for listening.
One famous and powerful preacher was asked by a reporter after he finished preaching the secret to the power of his preaching. The preacher took the reporter down to the basement to a little room that was directly under the pulpit. There were three old ladies on their knees praying. The preacher stated that this was the power behind his preaching, prayer. It is prayer, he said. If you would ask me the secret to the power of my preaching, if there is any power to my preaching, I would have to take you to my wife, who is in prayer for me as I write my sermons and prays for me even right now as I'm preaching this sermon. My answer would be the same as the infamous preacher. The power behind his preaching and any preaching is prayer. It's prayer. Now, prayer has become a lost art of the church. Many are not familiar with prayer and therefore do not participate in it unless something has gone wrong or it is a desperate need. Now, years ago, during the Depression or any hard time, time of war, the largest church gathering of the week was a prayer meeting. Midweek, normally, at night in the church. The church would be filled with people praying because they were in desperate need of God's help. And so they would come in and they would pray and fill the church even greater than Sunday morning. And people were petitioning God because they were in desperate need of something. But when times got better, money started flowing, then the attendance dwindled to almost nothing. The meetings got moved from the church sanctuary to a smaller room in annexes. For some strange reason, when the need is fulfilled because of God's answer to prayer, the people stop praying. It seems as though the people start giving up, but God continues to listen up. Our text today speaks about the command for us to pray. It is specific to a prayer command for us to provide an opportunity for us to witness Jesus Christ and to share the gospel. And the specific prayer command from Paul is for us to understand that we must go out and witness this mystery to those who do not know it and those who are waiting to hear it. Colossians 4, 2 through 6, beautifully read by my sister Angie. The subject is the prayer command, and the complement as we look at this together is the prayer command is for doors to be open to spread the gospel. Prayer command is for doors to be open to spread the gospel. I have 4 points, and then I'm going to let you go. But the first point is this, the prayer in general, just the generality of the prayer itself. In this first point, Paul speaks about the generalities of prayer. And there are three, devotion, watchfulness, and thanksgiving. First, let's look at devotion in prayer. The Greek word order and wording says, in prayer remain constant, keeping awake in it, in good favor. And because of the roughness of the Greek writer, the English translators must smooth it out for clarity. So, however, the one thing that is the same between both the Greek and the English is the firm command to do something in prayer. The net translation command is to be devoted. The Greek writer states it as remaining constant and to be persistent. In any case, the command stands for the purpose of prayer. Paul says in prayer that the believer needs to persevere, to be devoted with strict consistency. The Greek word is defined as to persist in something and never stop or give up. It has the force of doing something continuously with intense effort in spite of the difficulties faced. Oswald Chambers says, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Billy Graham says, in order to get the nation back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. Charles Hodges Jr. says that prayer is not whistling in the dark. It is walking towards the light. And Glenn Griffin says prayer should be the key in the morning and the lock at night. And Mark Batterson says God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. An unknown writer says pray hardest when it's hardest to pray. And the last one, Greg Moyer says, prayer is not our last resort, but our first resource. Now, all of these combined helps us to see what Paul is saying more clearly. Simply be devoted to prayer. Now, how would we define the main object of the verse, prayer? What is the main understanding of this word prayer as we are called to persist in it? It includes both public and private prayer. Public prayer, such as during the church service, as we just did, or prayer meeting like the 12 o'clock noon line on Zoom, or private prayer, additionally private prayer, such as prayer in your quiet time in the morning or in the evening, or whenever you're still away to be alone with God. And prayer is the petitioning of God for something or interceding for someone. It is requesting God's help for the world and for the needs of others. It is an opportunity to confess your sins and ask for forgiveness for your transgressions. It is simply the Christian's avenue to talk to God the Father. And like the songwriter says, prayer is the ability to call him up and tell him what you want. The verse continues to say, be devoted in prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. What does Paul mean, keeping alert in it? The raw Greek translation reads, keeping awake in it. The lexical definition points our minds to one who is on alert while praying and wide awake about prayer. The way I believe we should see this is that as we are praying persistently, we should be awake and aware both spiritually and physically. Spiritually awake and aware of the forces of evil and the enticement and deception of the world, the powers of the ruler of the air led by Satan, and physically awake and aware of our physical surroundings, one's mental alertness of constant temptation. This also has a sense of the believer being alert and watchful, that nothing takes us away from Christ so that we do not lose God's gifts and rewards. Alertness that we do not become lazy and make prayer a formality or a mundane routine that is absent of sincere faith in its power and effectual happenings. But careful of making prayer simply just going through the motions of human traditions. The last part of the general prayer is with thanksgiving. Be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. In other words, Paul is saying that the Christian's attitude must be one of thankfulness, cheerfulness, and gratitude to God the Father and Jesus Christ for both hearing and adhering to the petition and requests of the believer's prayers. We're thankful to Jesus that we can approach the throne room of God. We're thankful to Jesus that we can call God, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke something into existence from nothing, the one who shaped and molded us into his image, that we can call him Father, Abba, Daddy, and see and know that he is our heavenly Father, and we are his kingdom children. We are his kids, and we belong to him. And so pray without ceasing, keeping your eyes on the prize, and always be thankful for whatever, however, and whenever he resolves our persistence in requesting and petitioning him. And point two, prayer for the opportunity to witness. This is verse 3. So verse 3 says, at the same time, pray for us that God may open a door for the message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am, Paul is, in chains. The text says, at the same time, and additionally, pray for us too. As we're praying in general, Paul is calling for them to pray for him too, to look his way, to call his name as they are in the morning, in the evening, in their private, in their public prayer, to call out his name and his co-workers as well. Paul is requesting intercessory prayer for himself and his fellow servants, his co-workers in Christ. This is prayer where one prays for another. It is where we lift up the concerns of others. We petition God the Father on behalf of another human being. In this case, it is Paul and his co-workers specifically asking and directing the request of the prayer. Paul, along with Timothy, Epaphras, and others are asking for God to open the door for the message. In other words, they are asking and seeking God through intercessory prayer for the opportunity to present the gospel concerning the mystery of Jesus Christ to someone or many so that they can be saved. This helps us to see what we are being alert and watchful to and for. It is the fact that the ultimate purpose for prayer is for the opportunity to spread the gospel of the mystery of Jesus Christ. Question for you is this: why does Paul call the message the mystery of Jesus Christ? Colossians 1:26 says that it is called a mystery because it has been hidden from ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. In other words, the message concerning Jesus Christ as Savior for all mankind is hidden from the minds of the non-believer, but has been revealed to the minds of those who he calls his saints, those who have accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior. He has revealed this mystery to them. And even though Christ as Savior has been revealed and he's no longer concealed, he still has to be heard. It is still a mystery to those who have not had it spoken to them. And there are many still who have not heard about the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross and how he died for all men's sin and rose with all power and authority to grant salvation with his precious gift of eternal life. This is a mystery, and that if we do not reveal it through speaking the message concerning it, then the awesome revelation will remain concealed and powerless to affect the lives of many. And Paul says that this is what he is in chains for. It is the message of salvation that has caused Paul to be locked up and denied his freedom. But it is also this message of salvation that has allowed his situation to be beneficial for the prison guards to hear about the mystery of Jesus Christ and to have an opportunity for salvation. Paul says that the very chains that bound him is allowing the gospel to advance and people to be saved. This all shows us that the glamour of being a saint is not the situation, but it's the salvation. Paul shows us that the joy of the saint is agnostic of the situation and the circumstance, but it lies in the opportunity to present the gospel so that mankind can be saved. In this case, for the Colossian saints, it is the message of salvation presented to the Gentiles. However, in our case, it is the message presented to everyone, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every race, every gender, every economic, social, and political status. The message is for everyone, and the situation or circumstance that it lands us is the place where we are to proclaim it. If it lands us in the White House or the outhouse, proclaim it. In the suburbs or the ghetto, proclaim it. In the high rise of the hood, the message of Jesus Christ is to be proclaimed. And this is what we are diligently and persistently praying for while being alert in the situation and thankful for the very opportunity. Point three, pray for strength and clarity. This is verse 4, yeah. Pray that I may make it known as I should. And this is an interesting verse. Pray that I may make it known as I should. So let me work with you through this and just see if you can agree with me. If not, I understand that you have a right to do that. But I want to just kind of pique your curiosity and see if you see what I'm seeing as it relates to this little small verse that kind of sits right in the middle of this lesson today. The next point in this prayer command is for strength and clarity. Paul's request is that he may make it known as he should. Now, I believe that there are two ways to look at this. One is asking for strength, and the other is asking for clarity. The ask for strength is for the strength to actually go and fulfill the command to proclaim the gospel. And during Paul's day, the presentation of the gospel concerning Jesus Christ could cause one their life. It caused John the Baptist his life. It caused Stephen his life. He was stoned to death. It caused many others their lives. But the most important life that was taken was that of Jesus Christ. He came proclaiming salvation to his very own, but they disowned him. He proclaimed salvation to his 12 disciples. And Peter denied him. And Thomas doubted him. And all the rest left him. Oh, and yes, and Judas, the one who was of the devil, betrayed him. And ultimately, it cost Jesus his life. And so the prayer to make it known as we should could be for the strength to proclaim it, knowing the possibility of the outcome. And this may not be an issue for us today, but it could be one in the future. Many are becoming hostile to the message of Christ. And with the depravity of man and the social, legal, and political system's depravity, it could ultimately cause you your life. But in any case, you have a life that may place you in places and situations that you would not choose for yourself or your family. And so the prayer is for strength to go where God tells you, where he tells me to go, and to proclaim the salvific message of Christ. So the prayer for strength is to go. Go where God tells you to go. And boldly go and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Now, the other way to look at it is that is the prayer of clarity. And this pertains to the clarity of the proclaimed message. The prayer for clarity is for the message to be right and true, to be stated and articulated in such a way that is easily understood. Prayer for the ability to answer the person who asked about the hope in Jesus that you have. And so this prayer of making it known is doctrinally, and the other is making it known obediently. Doctrinally, clarity. Obediently, strength to do the work. Now, point four, the proper behavior of the believer, verses 5 and 6. He says this, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders. Make the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that, here's the purpose, so that you may know how you should answer everyone. And Paul's last point is not a part of the requested prayer, but is an exhortation directed to the saints of Colossae. Paul is encouraging and urging them to conduct themselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunities. There are two main questions that we have to ask and answer concerning this command from Paul. Paul, what do you mean conducting ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders? And what does it mean to make the most of every opportunity? First, conducting ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. The word order in Greek is, in wisdom, walk around to the ones outside. The prepositional phrase, in wisdom, is better translated wisely. And so the understanding would be for us to be wise in the way we walk. And we know the Greek word for walk, which is peripatao, and it means to tread heavily underfoot. I gave the analogy of a little kid in a white suit stomping up and down in a mud puddle, and the mud getting all over his white suit, turning it completely into the color of the mud. So the idea is for us to be wise in our lifestyle as believers. It is a call for wisdom in our behavior as we engage those who are outside the kingdom of God. for us to be attractive to them, to help bring them to become believers in Christ. We are to reveal the character of saints to the unbelievers so that they can desire to be saved. And also help dispel the lie about Christians through a righteous life lived in the world amongst mankind. And what does Paul mean by making the most of the opportunity? It means seize the opportunities given to us to proclaim Jesus Christ to those who are unsaved. It means take advantage of, to capture the moment that God gives us. Those divine appointments that he brings to us, that he hand carries and delivers to us, that we ought to be able to take advantage of those opportunities and present the message of Jesus Christ at that moment that it comes. It means to seize the opportunity of the unrest and the protests and the death of George Floyd to proclaim Jesus Christ. It means to seize the opportunity of the hopelessness in the world caused by the pandemic of COVID-19 to proclaim Jesus Christ. It means to seize the opportunity of the high divorce rate and unhappy marriages to proclaim Jesus Christ. It means to take advantage of the rainbow parade issue of the LGBT and to proclaim Jesus Christ. It means to seize the opportunity given to us by the wickedness of the world and depravity of man to preach and to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ as the sole solution to all the opportunities identified in the world. God sees them as opportunities and he tells us to seize them and take advantage of them to proclaim this mystery concerning Jesus Christ and tell the world that the solution to all of the problems is a man named Jesus. And finally, when we do engage them, those who are unsaved, in the opportunities provided in the world, Paul says, let our speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how we should answer everyone. In other words, when we engage the individuals in the LGBT community, or the ladies of the battered woman's shelter, or the convicted criminals in their prison cell, or the single moms of the hopeless and hurting children, or the porn sex addict, or the drunkard, and the opportunities go on and on. He says we must let what we say be filled with the favor and the love of God. It must be gracious and pleasant and not harsh or hurting. It must be kind and understanding of the situation that the unsaved are in is because of the sin and the absence of Christ in their lives. So we engage them with seasoned salt message. A message that is attractive to them because of the way we engage them. A message that is delivered with the grace of God by righteous believers, making the recipient want to hear and possibly take hold of its truth. The purpose of the gracious encounter is so that we may know how to answer everyone, that all unsaved are targets for the truth of the gospel, that everyone who is in the darkness of the lie can be brought to the truth of the marvelous light. There is no opportunity that we cannot seize and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, pray for it with a life devoted to prayer, praying for the opportunity to share the message of truth, accepting the situation that God has placed you in for the purpose of proclaiming Jesus Christ, and pray for strength to do his will and the wisdom to present the message with clarity. And when God answers the prayer, let us be ready to seize the God-given opportunity to engage the unsaved with a gracious encounter, presenting the attractive message of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all I have for today. That's the message today. And that's the message that Paul wanted us to hear concerning this command for us to pray. He wants us to be devoted and alert. He wants us to intercede and pray that doors will be open, that we might be able to proclaim his name He wants us to take advantage of the opportunity. He wants us to pray for strength and clarity. He wants us to conduct ourselves in such a way that the non-believer toots his nose up at our unrighteous lifestyle as we're calling them to live a life of righteousness, but that we would go and be attractive to them, not only through the deliverance of the message with the most attractive one, Jesus Christ, but also a lifestyle that we live that also combined with the message will cause their hearts to turn from their wicked ways and cause them to want to be a believer. I understand that the power is in the gospel for salvation to happen. But it's also, as he speaks here, that we must also season it with the salt of our lives, a life that is representative of the person that we represent, a character, a Christianity, a lifestyle of righteousness, as we go out and engage those who are unsaved. And Father, so I come today thanking you for your message. Your message is true, right, pointed to us. It helps us to make decisions about what we need to do. It helps us to self-evaluate. And today you've spoken to us about prayer, a long-lost art of the church. But you've called us to be familiar with what you've asked us to do. Come back to our knees and pray. Make it priority. A love language that you've given us ability to come and to speak to you in your throne room, to petition your requests and to lift up praises and to honor you in our respect that we have for you and our reverence as we come and we open ourselves to you and speak to you, not thinking that we're speaking to our pillow or our bed or whatever we're kneeling on, the kneeling bench, but we're speaking directly to you in your throne room, and you're hearing every word that we're saying. And we look forward to the resolution of the prayer, and we look forward to how you're going to miraculously change things. And so we come adhering to your message today, self-evaluating ourselves, and seeing where we're short concerning these things, and seeing where our hearts have been dampened by not wanting to go out and find those open door opportunities to spread the gospel, where we've become callous to wanting others made in your image to be children of the kingdom, where we've gotten lackadaisical and lazy about being clear and understanding your word so we can articulate it clearly and answer the people who ask the questions and give them an answer to the hope that we have with gentleness and meekness, seasoned with salt and the favor and the love from you. And God, we thank you so much for all who are hearing, and ask that you would just touch us and praise us and watch over us and continue to walk with us and shower us with your praises and your graces. And let us know when we're walking out of line. And let the power of your Holy Spirit direct us back. Continue to give us a heart like you have for those who are less fortunate and those who are unsaved, that we may draw them in to be saved. We ask these things in Christ's name. Let us all say amen.
We pray today's message encourages you to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ wherever life may lead. And again, thanks for listening. For more information about Proclamation Church, visit our website at proclamation.church. And remember to proclaim the truth.